ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Text 18, Canto 4, Chapter 2. Ayam tu deva yajana, Indra pendra dibir bhavaha, sahabhagam lalabhatam, devayar deva ganadamaha, ayam tu deva yajana, Indra pendra dibhir bhavaha sahabhagam nalabhadvam devayar deva ganadamaha. I am that. Deva yajana, in the sacrifice of the demigods. Indra upendra adibhi, with Indra upendra and others. Bhava, Lord Shiva, saha, along with. Bhagam, a portion. Na, not. Labhatam, should obtain. Devai, with the demigods. Devagana adamaha, the lowest of all the demigods. That's what he's calling Lord Shiva. Translation. The demigods are eligible to share in the oblations of the sacrifice, but Lord Shiva, who is the lowest of all the demigods, should not have a share. Purport. Because of this curse, Shiva was deprived of his share of the oblations of Vedic sacrifices. It was due to the curse of Daksha, Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti comments in this connection, that Lord Shiva was saved from the calamity of taking part with other demigods who were all materialistic. Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not fitting for him to eat or sit with materialistic persons like the demigods. Thus, the curse of Daksha was indirectly a blessing, for Shiva would not have to eat or sit with other demigods who were too materialistic. There's a practical example set for us by Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, who used to sit on the side of a latrine to chant Hare Krishna. Many materialistic persons used to come and bother him and disturb his daily routine of chanting, so to avoid their company, he used to sit by the side of the latrine where materialistic persons would not go because of the filth and the obnoxious smell. However, Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj was so great that he was accepted as the spiritual master of such a great personality as His Divine Grace Om Vishnupad Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. The conclusion is that Lord Shiva behaved in his own way to avoid materialistic persons who might disturb him in his prosecution of devotional service. I'm going to read the next verse also. Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, in spite of the requests of all the members of the sacrificial assembly, Daksha, in great anger, cursed Lord Shiva and then left the assembly and went back to his home. Purport. Anger is so detrimental that even a great personality like Daksha, out of anger, left the arena where Brahma was presiding and all the great sages and pious saintly persons were assembled. These messages are quite different. One is the demigods were very materialistic, and here the... All of them requested him not to leave, but infuriated, he left, thinking that the auspicious place was not fit for him. Puffed up by his exalted position, he thought that no one was greater than he in argument. It appears that all the members of the assembly, including Lord Brahma, requested him not to be angry and leave their company. But in spite of these requests, he left. That is the effect of cruel anger. In Bhagavad Gita, therefore, it is advised that one who desires to make tangible advancement in spiritual consciousness must avoid three things: lust, anger, and the mode of passion. Actually, we can see that lust, anger, and passion make a man crazy, even though he be as great as Daksha. The very name Daksha suggests that he was expert in all material activities, but still, because of his aversion towards such saintly personality as Lord Shiva, he was attacked by these enemies, anger, lust, and passion. Lord Chaitanya therefore advised that one be very careful not to offend Vaishnavas. He compared offenses towards a Vaishnava to a mad elephant, as a mad elephant can do anything horrible. So when a person offends a Vaishnav, he can perform any abominable action. So there's the lesson we're supposed to be learning, one of them at least. Knowing what these verses say, to chant them together, it's a bit a little painful. The mentality of Daksha is offensive. Many times in our Acharya's commentaries, because of their Sanskrit scholarship, they show a double meaning. There's the intended meaning of the person speaking something harsh or nasty, then taking the words and breaking the words in a different way or taking different meanings, then another meaning can be derived that's complementary to the qualities of a Vaishnav. The rule of Sanskrit, I'm not a Sanskrit scholar, but one of the rules is there are direct meanings, and the direct meanings are to be taken first. But if the direct meaning is not appropriate, then you may take an indirect meaning or some other meaning. So those that are not scholars of integrity, they right away go to some indirect meaning. Like, you know, Krishna says, surrender unto me, and they say, don't surrender to Krishna. Krishna says, think of me, and their commentary is, don't think of Krishna. It's a slap in the face. But, so indirect meanings are not appropriate, therefore Prabhupada's translation is Bhagavad Gita as it is, not Bhagavad Gita as it isn't. And here, the insult of Daksha, a second meaning is taken, or at least the application of that. He's being insulted specifically as the last line here, Devayar Devo Ganadamaha. Adamaha is lowest. Gana, amongst the Deva Gana, he's Adama. Devayar Devo Ganadamaha. He's the lowest amongst the demigods. In fact, as far as Daksha is concerned, he shouldn't even be considered a demigod because of all of his offensive remarks. So his offensiveness is turned around by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is, thank you very much, Daksha. You've rescued me from having to do something that I would be otherwise uncomfortable to do, or it would be inappropriate to sit with materialistic persons and eat with materialistic persons. being they're in nectar of instruction. There are two verses that indicate that which destroys bhakti is association with materialistic persons, and that which enhances bhakti is to avoid the association of materialistic persons. So, asat sangatyag evaishnavachar in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya's a definition of the characteristic of a devotee is a devotee is one who gives up asat, association of asat personalities, persons attached to the impermanent, trying to be the enjoyers of the impermanent. Asat sangat tyag e vaishnav achar. Achar means behavior. The characteristic of a devotee is they're very careful with regarding intimate association with worldly persons. I just heard Prabhupada explain this. This doesn't mean we're living in the material world. What are we going to do? Become hermits? That's not the instruction. We may certainly, we're required by social convention to be polite and, you know, yes sir, no ma'am, thank you very much, have a nice day, and all those nice things. Intimate association is what's recommended. And those intimate associations are these six loving exchanges. The dati, prati, grinati, kuyam, akyati, prichati, bhunkte, bojayate, chaiva. Prabhupada was explaining this. He said, so in the airplane, we don't take their food. One doesn't go to a hotel. Hotel in India is like a restaurant in America. Hotel. So we don't eat that kind of thing. You just, it's no thank you. Because that's a kind of exchange of what's recommended to not do. It said that when cooking, the consciousness of the cook is transferred in the process of cooking, and therefore when you're eating the food cooked by unclean consciousness persons, you're ingesting that contamination through the eating process. Their consciousness is transferred. Therefore, those who are cooking, particularly for the deities, and the ideal standard, the proper standard is it should be brahmanas, and if not brahmanas, initiated devotees, and if not initiated devotees, we are required at this stage to do this, then one should be qualified and externally clean and internally clean. The standard should be like that. So to eat in the company of materialistic persons is something that a highly elevated personality like Lord Shiva is very careful not to do. We're not highly elevated personalities. But the principle is something that we should consider how to apply it becomes challenging depending upon circumstances of life, especially with occupational requirements, but and other kinds of social requirements. But specifically, the verses speaking of Lord Shiva, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments in this connection, Lord Shiva was saved from the calamity just a little social comment. The Hinduja family, some of you from India, you know the Hinduja family. Sri Chant Hinduja has a place, his own apartment in New York, in London, in Bombay, and he goes and does business. what has placed in New York as Trump Tower. It means it's multi-million dollar little space. And the keys for his place are with Satya, Rama Bhadra's wife. Because what he does is he'll only eat at Krishna temples. So if there's not a Govinda's restaurant, he was encouraging us, start a Govinda's restaurant, I'll come there regularly when I'm in New York. But until that takes place, here are my keys, you can, Satya, you come and cook and you offer to Krishna. And so when he personally only eats Krishna prasadam, and when there are functions, he serves other things, but he personally eats only Krishna prasadam. Very strict. To his credit. Certainly Lord Shiva is strict. On this note here in the purport of Shiva would have had to eat and sit with the demigods who were materialistic. There is a practical example set for us by Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. So he sat by the side of the latrine, Prabhupada is saying here. In his biography, it says he sat inside, like little stalls, and he sat inside one, and the constable came and he shut it from the inside, leave me alone, nobody's here. But the people of Navadvip, they don't want to see you in this place. We'll make a nice place for you. We'll leave you alone. I'm not here. Leave me alone. Nobody's here. I mentioned this yesterday. Similarly, Rishabhdev did a similar thing, but it's described in connection with Rishabhdev, although he lied on the roadway like a python, and whatever came his way, he accepted, and otherwise he fasted, and then he would pass stool, and it just laid there by his side, and he rolled in the stool and smeared the stool. But then the next verse says, but it was aromatic. For some number of miles in all directions, there was this wonderful fragrance. Then Prabhupada says, so if someone says you're God, very well, you pass stool, let's see if it smells fragrant. First test. Go ahead, pass stool. You try some of those things. I've met people that speak like that. One of the recent ones was in a college situation, and he had a nice-mannered young man, and he said, you know, with a big smile, I heard your talk, but in the final analysis, we're all God. Then I said some of the things that the Prabhupada said. If we're all God and it's all one, then why don't you wear a cotton ball instead of a shirt? When Prabhupada said it, he grabbed the person's shirt and pulled on it. He said, why do you wear a shirt instead of a cotton ball if it's all one? Not so many people are so foolish. But anyway, some people are foolish. And to detach oneself from worldly-minded persons, there are extreme behaviors. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji and Rishabhdev, personality and Godhead, extreme behaviors. It's not that, Prabhupada explained, it's not that he was disturbed. He's the personality of Godhead. But he's showing by example, one may choose to distance oneself from unwholesome association. Not imitating, but you may, those radical means, but one may distance oneself from unwholesome association. That's the teaching of Mahaprabhu. And in this cursing of Daksha, a favor was done, although it looked otherwise. Like when Daksha cursed Narada, you can't stay in any place. And Narada was thinking, very nice, sannyas life. I can't stay in any one place for a few days and then move to the next place for delivering Krishna consciousness. So this verse 19, the next one, is what are we supposed to derive from all this unpleasant, harsh speech? And the answer is being provided. Anger, this enemy of the conditioned soul, if it attacks and if we are susceptible to it because of, well, it's traced in the previous verse, due to his envy. Due to envy of a great personality, in this case, Lord Shiva. Due to envy of Lord Shiva, very bad qualities follow that. So here's how Prabhupada writes it in this port. Because of his aversion towards such a saintly person as Shiva, that if aversion, the Sanskrit word is dvesha, raga dvesha samutina dvandva mohina bharata, aversion. I'm averse to, I have dislike for, I have envy towards someone. That's an elevated person. Because he was attacked, because of his aversion towards such a saintly person as Shiva, he was attacked by these three enemies, anger, lust, and passion. So it's a domino effect. At least that's the way he's, you know, cause and effect. Aversion, or he then reduces it to offensiveness towards an exalted Vaishnava. Due to offensiveness, then many things follow. Anger, lust, and passion. Actually, the sequence commonly from Bhagavad Gita, that's what Prabhupada's referring to, it's contact with the mode of passion. And from the contact with the mode of passion is lust. Lust frustrated leads to anger. So, even what is the cause of our coming in contact with the mode of passion? Or what precedes that, or the other way around? How to get free from this contact with the mode of passion, then lust, then anger. Be very careful about offenses towards great personalities, or an attitude towards such great personalities, a negative attitude towards such great personalities. Because a negative attitude may not be spoken right away, but it's there. If it's there, it's going to come out in behavior and speech. Two nice examples is Daksha Part 1, when he had an attitude towards Narada. The first time around he didn't say it, but he felt it. The second time around he said it and offended Narada. Another example from Chaitanya Charitamrita, or Chaitanya Bhagavat actually, is when the elder son of Sachimata, Vishwarup, was going every day to hear Srimad Bhagavatam recited by Advaita Acharya. The house of Jagannath Mishra, the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, those of you who've been to Mayapur, it's not so far. It's proximate to Srivas Thakur's residence. The Brahminical community resided commonly together. So Srivas Thakur, a Brahmana, and Jagannath Mishra, a Brahmana, and Advaita Acharya also had a small residence, and Gadadhar Pandit had a small residence near. So Vishwarup, young boy, did his morning Brahminical duties, and after completing them, he'd go to the house of Advaita Acharya, who was conducting discussion on Bhagavatam, and he attended. And he stayed all morning. It was a long Bhagavatam class. And sometimes Nimai would have to go, sent by Mother Sachi, to go and bring Vishwarup back for lunch. Just grab a hold of his dhoti then po. So Vishwarupa understood this means Sachi wants me to come have lunch. So he would go and perform his midday duties and then have lunch and then go back for continuing the Bhagavatam class. And this would go on regularly. And in course of time, because he was becoming so attracted to the message of Bhagavatam, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata became a little concerned. Maybe he's going to become too attracted and we should get him married before that happens. And he heard the getting married talk and he left, took sannyas. And Mother Sachi didn't say anything, but she felt something. And what she felt was, Advaitacharya, because of him, now I don't have a son. He's been so much inspiring Vishwarup that now he's taken sannyas. So she was feeling some negativity, some bad feelings towards Advaitacharya. Watch out for bad feelings towards a Vaishnava. And those bad feelings didn't come out. She didn't say them, but they were inside. And later, when her second son, Nimai, because of his intense feature of devotion to the personality of Godhead, she then started speaking negatively about Advaitacharya. They say he's Advaitacharya, but he's misnamed. He's not Advaita. He's acting on the platform of duality, and he's not an Acharya because he's destroying religious principles. This is his only remaining son, and he's corrupting, he's taking my son away from me because of his extreme dedication to the personality of Godhead. And he spoke this way, she spoke this way, about Advaitacharya. Well, you know how things go when you say something bad about somebody. It goes to that somebody. Count on it. Consider that thing done. As soon as you speak negatively about somebody, it's going to go to that somebody. Count on it. You can say it three times and just count it. That's just the way it is. So it not only went to Advaitacharya, but it went to her son. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being so devoted to his mother, but being so intolerant of the fact that this was just a leela to illustrate, however affectionate Lord Chaitanya was to his mother, he would not tolerate this kind of speaking against a Vaishnava. So he went to Mother Sachi's place and exhibited great anger, and literally, it's described, he raised his hand, meaning he was going to slap her or hit her. And the devotees were, Nimai, what are you doing? This is your mother. You can't do this. And he expressed, I cannot tolerate offenses to a Vaishnava. Advaita Acharya is the personality of Godhead, needs to be respected by everybody. He's the greatest amongst devotees. And anyone, even my mother who speaks like this, should be dealt with in a strong way. The only way that I can forgive my mother is if Advaita Acharya comes here and she places her head at his feet and begs his forgiveness. And he gives his forgiveness. So persons heard that and they ran to go get Advaitacharya, come quick. Nimai's losing it. He's yelling at his mother and behaving very badly. Advaitacharya came and said, I can't have, Mother Sachi is worshipable by me. She's my mother. How can I have her place her head at my feet? And Mother Sachi ran and placed her head at his feet and, please forgive me, please forgive me. Lord Chaitanya dropped his hand and said, all right, but let this be a lesson. Never hold animosity towards a Vaishnava. Never speak ill of Mother Sachi. Never conduct oneself in this way. offensive towards a great devotee. So it was a lesson for everybody. Whoa, we're going to be very careful. Sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his lila, we can't imitate, but in his lila, he acted very strongly to establish a principle. Chota Haridas, about the regulations of a sannyasi, and with his mother, Sachi. Those with whom he had a special affection, those persons he would sometimes exhibit very strong message. So one should be very, very careful. So that's the message we're hearing here. One should be very careful about, it didn't start with his nasty talking, in insulting words. It started with envy. And from that, read the sentence again. Actually, we can see that lust, anger, and passion make a man crazy, even though he be as great as Daksha. Then the very name Daksha suggests that he was expert in all material activities. But still, because of aversion towards such a saintly person as Lord Shiva, he was attacked by these three enemies: anger, lust, and passion. So that means he was susceptible, more than susceptible, he was prone. That consciousness creates the circumstances of our life. Matter configures itself by Super Soul's direction to match or to provide circumstances according to our consciousness. So if it's elevated consciousness, it's one thing. If it's degraded consciousness, it's another thing. And his degraded consciousness started with offensiveness towards a great personality. The opposite is one can get out of the material complexities of life. Third canto, some like 8 chapters of Kapila Dev explaining to Devahuti, the way to get out of material contamination is association with saintly persons, sadhu sangha, and serve them and hear from them. And that one can go beyond the ocean of birth and death. The Supreme Lord carries one beyond the ocean of birth and death because of that one qualification. And the opposite, again, offending such persons, whatever there is that's good gets destroyed by anger, lust, and passion, in this case with Daksha. So I'll end there, see if there's some discussion. Yes.
So we have naturally the tendency of, you know, the lust, anger, and everything. But still we
it's unnatural. It's our diseased condition. Go ahead. I know what you mean. In our conditioned state, it's natural.
So still we can use those conditions, like that things, in our Krishna conscious service.
One has to be very careful, but yes, it's true.
But what if it sometimes has been misused?
What if it's sometimes what?
Misused.
Then you're going to have a problem. That's what happens.
So what is the position at that time?
Be very careful. Be very careful.
Because if you come across any of those, you know, sometimes
devotees. Yeah, sure. It happens because we're conditioned. We have a contamination called material consciousness. And in that state of material consciousness, those things knock on your door, if not knock down your door and take over. One should be very cautious and stick to the middle of the road, stick to the position of being very faithful to the instructions received. In that, so 9:30 Bhagavad Gita. Apichet sudarasharo bhajate mamanandivak sadhareva samantavya. You know the verse. Look it up. 9:30 Bhagavad Gita. Apichet means even if is like hypothetically supposing the moon fell into the ocean. No, it's not going to fall into the ocean. But supposing the moon, then what would happen? It's that kind of, it's never going to happen, but supposing it were to happen, then what? So apichet, even if apichet sudaracharo, even if there's sudarachar, very, very bad activity from a devotee. A bad activity, very bad activity, very, very bad activity. Supposing some devotee does like that. But the antidote is bhajate mam ananyabhak. Consistently, prior and subsequent, ananya bhakti, undivided devotion. Krishna says, sadur eva samantavya. I think of sa mantavya, I think of him as sadhu. That's how we should regard such a person. That's how the verse goes. So the antidote for such tendency is bhajate mam ananyabhak. Stay fixed. In our case, in regulative devotional service, very carefully performed, regulated vaidhi sadhana bhakti. That's our platform. Following the regulations of devotional practice. That's the antidote. And if there's a slip and a fall, get up and become situated again in vaidhi sadhana bhakti. Very, very carefully. Stay like that. It will protect you. And then if there's some slip, return to that immediately. Nectar devotion teaches, if there's some offense, what is the devotee to do? It's not some prayaschitta. It's become again situated properly in devotional service. That's what to do.
So what is the mood of the other? What is the mood of the to have if somebody encounters that type?
Krishna is advising in that verse. If you encounter that, look first to see, is this a bhajate mam ananya bhakta? If so, consider them saintly. And you overlook that. As Krishna overlooks, you overlook. And see the consistent rather than the anomalous behavior. And the next verse, kshipram bhavati dharma. Krishna corrects. They have a relationship with Krishna. Krishna is in charge of them and their life. Krishna is going to correct. I don't have to play Krishna and say, oh, you know, you're bad. Krishna has the relationship with that person. He says, I very quickly restore them to righteousness. Okay. Yes.
I just want to ask you something that I heard long ago concerning something that Prabhupada had said about Brahmananda.
About Brahmananda, okay.
He had told some, this is what I heard, that he had told some devotees in the early days that if you see Brahmananda, because at one time Brahmananda had a habit of smoking, that if you see Brahmananda walking down the street with a cigarette, offer him your obeisances. You ever heard of that?
No, I never heard that one. I was, you know, in New York, and I didn't hear that one.
He was saying that he's a devotee and he's chanting and giving that example to devotees.
I don't know if he said that. You can ask Brahmananda.
I will.
But you know, on the one hand, it's like this question over here. If you see some durachar, that's one thing. You know, is there consistency in not the bad thing, but the bhajate mam ananyabhak? And then the other is, that Brahmananda should not think, oh, Prabhupada said I can smoke cigarettes. I just walk down the street and smoke cigarettes, and I should be, everyone should pay their obeisances to me. That is to say, that would be an offense on Brahmananda's part to think I'm situated in devotional service, so I can do what I like. I'm chanting the holy name, it will cleanse reactions from my misdeeds, so I can engage in misdeeds. And it's okay, Prabhupada said. Scriptures say, so that's offense against the holy name. And the uplifting effect, the potency of the holy name is withdrawn by that offense, if one is continuing in those bad activities. Thinking in that way, it's okay, I'm engaged in devotional service. Something else? Okay. Thank you very much. Shiva Prabhupada. Thank you.